Chuck's going to lead us in prayer, so let's bow. Okay, so I want to start off class today with just a bit of a recap of how we closed out last week's class, because they kind of tie together what we're talking about today and at the end of last week. We talked about modern-day miraculous physical manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Is that a mouthful? In other words, things like speaking in tongues, miraculous healings, gold appearing from nowhere, things like this. And the purpose of the class was really to try to put those kinds of things in perspective. I was not trying to say these things happen or don't happen, because God is completely allowed to do what He wants to do. I'm not going to pretend like I'm going to put up limitations on Him at all. But what I was wanting to do is put those in perspective, and the value of those things versus, for example, love. Like Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, I want to show you something even more excellent way. You should want something better than those things. And so, what that really comes down to is the question of why do you want the Spirit? In Francis Chan's book, Forgotten God, he spends a whole chapter on this question. Why do you want Him? I think is the title of the chapter. It's a really good... By the way, if I haven't mentioned... I really recommend reading that book. I stole the title, because it's a catchy title. I'm not walking my way through the book as I do sometimes, just because I wanted to hit different aspects of the Spirit for our purposes here. But I would really recommend, if you haven't read the book Forgotten God by Francis Chan, I would really recommend doing that. I don't agree with 100% of everything the guy says, but I really like the way he approaches things with a true heart of wanting to follow God and wanting to do what he says. And he's a very scripturally based book. But like I was saying, one of the chapters is called Why Do You Want Him? And he talks a lot about how, or the reasons that quote-unquote evangelical Christians these days, especially in the United States, want to have manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Why do you want the Holy Spirit working in your life? And it's an important question to ask ourselves, because, you know, we need to be asking this question of ourselves, rethinking our motivations. Because, you know, like James says, you don't have because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions, James 4:3. So, I know that I would like the Holy Spirit to work more in my life, or at least maybe the better way to put it is I want to understand that, or I want God to open my eyes to see those things. And I feel like the Spirit could work more in my life in some ways. I'm not sure what those ways could be necessarily. But do I want to do those things for my own benefit? Do I want to have the Spirit working in my life so I look better to other people? Is it going to be a source of pride? Is it for some other purposes of my own? Or am I wanting to, in some way, really experience everything that God has in store for me? Or do I love my brothers and sisters in the church so much that I want to be empowered to help them? You know, it's a selfishness versus selflessness thing. And I think it's important that we take a hard, deep look at ourselves to figure out why we want the Spirit working through our lives. And, of course, if you're doing it for selfish reasons, you need to take another look. As far as why you're wanting that in your life, because God cannot be bought. So obviously not for selfish reasons. So what's the right reason to want the Spirit in your life? Thoughts? I'm going to camp here too long tonight. But... Yeah? Or intercedes for us. The comforter idea. He's a comforter. Yeah, so in other words, why would you not want, like you said, why would you not want the Spirit of life as God? Why would you not want a closer relationship in some way, shape, or form? And that's completely true. Yeah. So with the Spirit we have salvation. That's helpful. That's good. Not a bad reason. Why does God give gifts of the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about the indwelling. Because a lot of what you guys were mentioning is the way I see it, kind of more of the closer relationship we have through the Spirit dwelling inside of us. And then there's these kind of manifestations, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12. Not all of them are miraculous ones, quote unquote. But why does God give these manifestations or gifts of the Spirit to people? The building up of the body. Bingo. Got on the first one. Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so I know that the Spirit definitely does guide us and help us think of things that we couldn't think of on our own, etc. And actually, next week we're going to be talking about the promises of the Spirit, and that's one of them. It is. And so we're going to be talking about how God promises to work in our lives through the Spirit. Yeah. Yeah, unity for sure. And that's exactly where we kind of left off last week with this verse, 1 Corinthians 12. Paul says, "Now there are varieties of gifts with the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service with the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And he goes on to say in verse 11, "All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills, as God wills." So, like we said last week, the various gifts are not given to a person because they are more worthy than someone else. It's completely up, at least I don't think, it doesn't say that is the reason. There's not like a chart, if I'm good enough I get these gifts or whatever. It's up to God. He gives the gifts as he sees fit. And we'll get into this a little bit more a little bit later. But if the gifts are given because God wants them given, that means he has a purpose or a reason for giving them. And that reason, like we just read, is for the common good, for building up the body of Christ. And this is expounded upon later in chapter 12. But the neat thing about this is if there's a reason that God gives us these gifts, and we've all been given at least one, it makes it clear in verse 7, chapter 12, we have all been given at least a gift, a manifestation of the Spirit in some way, and God has assigned them for a purpose, then we all have a part to play. That's why in this part of 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on about the parts of the body and how they're all necessary. The reason that we're all necessary is that we all have gifts that are needed here at Metal Art, in this body. And this is going to go on into the topic for today, the fruit of the Spirit. And I just love, I know I repeated what I said last week already, but I love the fact that the Spirit within us gives us gifts for the purpose of helping each other. And that's an amazing concept. It's a neat idea. And a lot of times people, especially on the edges, sometimes people feel like, I'm not needed, I'm not important, because I don't have the ability to do whatever fill-in-the-blank thing is that you think is more important than what you're doing. And every single thing is vital. And it's a gift of the Spirit. And I think that's just amazing. So, bringing us on to the topic for today, the fruit of the Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading lots of scriptures tonight. I'm going to put them up on the board, but it'll help to have some context if you have your Bible. To go ahead and turn to Galatians 5. We're going to be looking at that and as well as some of 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 again. So, first off, the fruit of the Spirit is different than these manifestations of the Spirit. It's not a fruit is something that grows, and these manifestations are gifts that are given. So there's somewhat of a difference, but besides just noticing the terminology used about what these gifts are or these fruit are, that this fruit is. I'll get there. Too many words. But God being God and consistent and tying things together, these manifestations of the Spirit are very closely and inextricably tied to the fruit of the Spirit. And we'll get into how in a little bit. So let's start out by just reading this passage, starting in verse 16 of chapter 5 in Galatians. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So before I share my thoughts on this, what strikes you all about this list of these attributes of the fruit of the Spirit? Thoughts and comments. Singular. Okay. Yeah, go. Yeah, they're not just... only Christians are allowed to have these. These are things that anybody wants to have. I think anybody would consider these good things. Not dependent upon your circumstance. What do you mean by that? Yeah, independent of what's going on in your life. Yeah, you could be in pretty much any circumstance and have this. Relationship oriented. Absolutely. If everyone was showing these attributes, we wouldn't need anything. All the time. All these things. All the time. Right. What do you mean, like, the laws of the land to make us do things, right? Yeah, it's kind of the term legislating morality that gets thrown around. It's like the laws that we have in civil government are trying to get people to act these ways. You're allowed to say two things. I'm not going to try to sum all that. Try to say things for them. So there's some interesting things to point out about this passage that I noticed or read or the Spirit told me. Not joking when I say that. So, like Angela was saying, the fruit is singular. What's the... Okay, big deal. Singular. What is the significance of this part, perhaps? Yeah. Right, it could be just a language thing. I, to be honest, I hadn't checked the Greek on this. Anybody? Greek scholar? Singular or singular? Yeah. Alright, there's a fruit section. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure the... Like I said, I'm not sure the Greek plural versus singular here. I know that Greek definitely has lots of plural versus singular here, but to kind of say what Jeff said, it's by calling it fruit, like a all-encompassing thing, like they're all together, it prohibits someone from saying, my fruit is love, therefore I don't have to be patient. Or that, like it's a gift that I get to pick one or something. Yeah. Fruit and fruits, it's not plural or singular.
Okay.
All right. So we are at an impasse. Okay. Acts of the flesh versus fruit of the spirit. Yeah, the reason I like to look at it as a singular thing is it prohibits it from being a checklist in my mind. That I, okay, today I have done these four things, I got, you know, five more to do, and I'm good for the day, or something like that. I mean, I'm not the only person who thinks this way. But seeing them as an all together, they're a fruit, that helps me. It's easy just to think, if I'm doing these things, then everything's good. But in order to... Can you force a fruit to grow? No. What can you do? You can provide the right environment, provide nutrients, and allow the thing... It just, you provide the environment, and you kind of get back and let the thing grow. And so you can't just have fruit without having a process to get there. That's I think that's really important as far as when you look at these attributes of a spirit-filled life. It's not something that just shows up one day, and I think it's an important thing to realize. Yeah, like you could say the fruit of sin is death, that's all you get, versus the spirit, you get these wonderful things that bring people together and make your life better, and such. That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I like what you said, especially about how these are things you can't be done with. As far as love and gentleness, you could always be more than you are now. And I do think that there's... I mean, that's a good question to ask. What role does effort play in this? And one of the aspects that I wanted to hit on is just the analogy chosen here, fruit of the Spirit. I mean, Paul could have said attributes of a Spirit-filled life are... Why does he say fruit specifically? Yeah. Because growing a garden is hard. Yeah, so you could have a semblance of a garden if you just plant stuff and walk away. Something will happen. But I think your point is, and I totally agree with this, if you really want good fruit to grow, you've got to mess with it constantly, pull the weeds and prune and water and things like that to make it a truly healthy plant. Yeah. Yeah, I like that connection to the vine and the branches. And what I think is cool about what both of you said, as far as this analogy goes, if you have a garden, it will partly grow on its own, but you have to put some effort into it as well. It's not like I was saying earlier, you can't force a garden to grow and produce fruit. You can provide a good environment and help it along. But the plant is producing fruit on its own. You can't change that itself. Yeah. Right. Sure. Yeah, it's a good point. The fruit is the harvest. It's up to God whether or not it grows. Sarah. Yeah, whatever. So what is a definition of a weed? An unwanted plant. It could be a tomato plant, but if it's growing in the middle of your lawn, it's a weed. So whatever you foster is what you will get. So if you take care of the weeds, you're going to get fruit that the weed bears. Yeah. You cannot bear bad fruit if you are in the Spirit. Well, it's just like Paul was saying earlier that in Galatians 5, you can walk in the Spirit or not. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have these fruit of the Spirit. And if you're walking in darkness, nothing grows in the dark that you really want to eat. Yeah, area. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the walking is important. It goes back to why the analogy of fruit and not just saying, here's some attributes. Because if you, with the analogy of fruit, it's not something that just shows up overnight. It's a process. It takes time. Some fruit takes longer to appear and be harvestable, and some's a little quicker. And walking in the Spirit is the same kind of idea. It's a continuous thing. It's not just it happens one day. California. Right. Something will attack the fruit. I'm sure. All kinds of natural critters and things like that destroying the fruit. Yeah. So, two questions to kind of go off of that. How, if these attributes are fruit that can grow in us, in our lives through the Spirit, how can we be good gardeners of them, to take the analogy one step further? And how can we, how do we help it grow? How do we fight back the bugs? If you don't harvest it, it's going to get rooted. Yeah, and developing and cultivating are important, but like you said, if you don't harvest and use these things, they will die on the vine and go bad. I had some really huge tomatoes this year that I missed somehow, and they got really nasty, and you don't want to eat those. They used to be. Could have been. Now, I like what you said about the first three being kind of relational to God, the second three with other people, and the third, the last three. Internal to ourselves. Didn't thought about that.
that's a great thing. Another great analogy as far as the fruit thing. The deeper your roots, the more you can survive.
Yeah, so being self-aware definitely helps. I know what you're getting at, and as far as roots goes, that could mean a lot of things. That could mean, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is knowing Scripture, right? Knowing what the truth is, so we can weather the storms. I think that the people in this room are roots for me, as well, because if something comes along that tries to pull me away from the truth or from the Metal Arc family, that's hard to do. I've got a lot of roots here, just in this room. And that's going to be hard to pull me away. So I think that all kinds of roots that we can foster and help grow deeper, it's going to help me to have more fruit of the Spirit in the future. Is that what I'm saying? Yeah, I think you kind of only have so much time to harvest so many kinds of fruit. And if you are harvesting the wrong kind of fruit, or cultivating, this analogy would go on forever, but you know what I mean, then you don't have the time to cultivate and harvest the fruit of the Spirit, which are the most valuable things on the planet. Yeah, and I like how you put that these are the harvest of the Spirit of God. I mean, obviously, that's what they are. But putting it that way, something clicked in my mind, because what these are doing, aside from saying a Spirit-filled person will be exhibiting these things in their life, they will flow out of them, they will grow out of them, they're kind of showing us a description of what God is like, who He is. Because from His Spirit, these things grow. And we just have to kind of get out of the way and let Him do His work within us and you know, pull weeds maybe, and help Him to show Himself through us. I think that's really neat. Because we could be all these things, but we don't want to point back to us. We want to point to God. How do we do that?
Right, and it's not just the fruit of the Spirit. And I also think that this is not an exhaustive list of what a Spirit-filled person will be producing. These same things seem to be encompassing, kind of like painting a picture of what the Spirit-filled life looks like. And I think, yeah, Jeff. Yeah, and to kind of answer your question, Jason, a little bit, I think the difference between when a random person has love and joy and these things in their life, I think by definition that these are fruit of the Spirit, as far as contextually with a Christian. When we have literally the Spirit of God in us producing these fruit, they are supernatural. And like Jeff was saying, a Christian will love even their enemies, not just the people who love them. So it's like these things are present in anyone, but what we're called to do, what God is trying to do through us, is to have these attributes in a supernatural level. Like, that it really is a miracle that you can love someone that much or have that much patience with the person who's driving in front of you in the road and really slow in the fast lane. Now you're listening to me. Okay, we got to go ahead and close that class. We're done. There's so much to. I had multiple pages left to talk about as far as things. I love the discussion that we had tonight as far as what these fruits, whatever are. I think the greatest thing that we can do is to really work on building those roots, using these things. I was going to get into that. If you look at the context, I encourage you to look at the context of Galatians in general. This passage is smack dab in the middle of talking about unity and community and the family and God, and how, yes, these things should come out in our lives everywhere we are, but in the original context of this, that's what it's talking about, is exhibiting these things to each other. And how these things are so relational, they help build each other up for the common good, just like the manifestations and miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit do. So keep that in mind. Read through all of Galatians. It's a good book. I recommend it. So let's go ahead and I'll close in a prayer, and then we'll go up and have a few songs. Father, I pray that you will come inside of our hearts and soften our hearts and help us to see ways that we can cultivate these fruit in our life. Help us to make our lives smaller in comparison to you. Help people to see you in our lives and you working through us. And we may have love and patience like other people do, but help us to have love and patience that can only come from you. So people know that we belong to you. Be with us and guide us and give us strength. We pray these things through Christ. Amen.